Praise God. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to talk with you a little about spiritual warfare. I want you to be free to ask me any question you want, anytime the Spirit leads you. Make sure the Spirit leads you. Amen. Hallelujah. And at the end of the service, at the end of the message, I'm going to ask you to ask me any question that comes to your mind. Praise God. But we are in the Spirit, and we're going to stay in the Spirit and do everything to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, and we begin from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I want you to take a special note of those words, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It is absolutely necessary for you to walk in the truth. This is the day, and this is the time, when the enemy is casting waters as a flood out of his mouth. What are we talking about? We are talking about false doctrines. Hallelujah. Waters as a flood out of his mouth to disarm and to disrupt the church. When you take these waters, some of them is like poison to your system. They disarm you. The arms that were lifted up in defense, they fall. Amen. They give you doctrine saying, don't come to the assembly. They say you can get enough at home. They say you can meet Jesus at home. They say, I'm just as good a Christian as you, staying home. Hallelujah. There's a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the assembly that is not at home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, for in this hour saith the Lord God, is bringing forth a body of people. God is bringing forth a body, and God is putting down every man that is exalted. Lift up your eyes and look around at the big preachers and tell me what you see happening to them. Hallelujah. There is no more big eyes and little U's in God. God is cutting them down because God is exalting a body. The ministry of the body is what God is doing this day. I came up, hallelujah, and I began to minister with great power in the place where I live. People were healed. The sick was just healed instantaneously. Mad people were brought in chains, tied up, and the rebuke of the Spirit set them free immediately. People were afraid of the ministry of God that was working in me. Hallelujah. praise God, for 30 years, we kept on kicking the devil around. One day, my wife got sick. Amen. And I say, well, I'll knock him just as I knock him every other time. I said, for 30 years, I haven't been to the doctor. I'm going to just kick that devil out and get deliverance now and just give the testimony and tell everybody. It didn't work. It didn't work, brother. All I did, all I prayed, we prayed. I fasted and I took sick in the fast. While my wife is there suffering in pain, for 2 months we battled and fought with this monster. Amen. Oh, God came and he spoke to my wife. He said, tell your husband to lay you on the altar of the body of Christ and let them pray for her. Amen. Oh, bless God Almighty, I had to take all the testimonies that I used to testify. We never went to doctors, we never did this and that and that, and I had to put them aside and shamefacedly write a letter to the body of Christ. Right. We're way down in Jamaica, outside of any help. Hallelujah. I wrote a letter to the body of Christ and sent it to 90 different groups that we minister to all over the United States, and the replies began to come in. Before the letter reached them, some people began to send replies. Thus said the Lord God, she is healed. Ha! Glory to God Almighty. Amen. We went to a doctor. The doctor says she cannot live. It's impossible. Said nobody get to that stage and live. But in 2 weeks, he said to me, she is completely healed and better. And he said, I had better give her the treatment now because she's better. He didn't expect her to be better, so he wasn't going to waste his treatment on her. But now that she's better, he's going to give her the treatment. Amen. I told him before, I said, doctor, I said, I don't want you to work any miracles. I said, I believe in God, that God's going to heal her. And I, this thing testified to that man until this day. He respects the God that we serve.
Amen.
But it knocked a certain amount of spiritual pride out of me, and it got me to know that I must not go around telling people that for 30 years I haven't been to the doctor, praise God, because there are some poor children of God who have to go to the doctor. Amen. And it just condemned the people of God. Amen. And so, praise God. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There is a day. There is a day that's going to try every piece of scripture that you ever knew. You hear me? There is a day in your life that's going to try every piece of scripture you ever knew. So you better pack them in and pack them in good and make sure that they are in their places. Amen. I believe we are coming to a time when the Christian is going to have to stand in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. Amen. You are going to be asked to stand firm in the Spirit and in the Word. And those who cannot stand will be swept away. For this is what the Word of God shows us. So the enemy is casting a flood out of his mouth and is disrupting the church with false doctrines. Amen. He's getting the people to be able to submit to wrong teachings. And these teachings are disrupting their Christian growth and fellowship. Amen. He said, God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some to do. And I want you to know that Christ manifests in the assembly in a different way from he manifests at your home. You need to come together now. Now is the time. All of us who believe the same thing should fellowship together now and should walk together now. For this is the will of God, that they may be one, even as we are one. Amen. How is God and Father one? How is Jesus and the Father one? Jesus and the Father is one, like how this man has a spirit, a soul, and a body, and all I can see is the body, but I know that there's a spirit behind it, and there's a soul behind it. Amen? That's how Jesus and his Father are one. And God says we must be the same body. There are no two bodies, no two churches in God.
That's right. Amen.
There are no denominations in God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ never made a denomination. He never created one. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is calling his people to a oneness. No, if we don't get together, we are going to be forced together. I'm telling you, brethren, some of us might well be hiding in the same hole. Some of us might be in the same asylum. Some of us might be in the same prison, but God's going to get us together.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girded with truth. We need the truth. It's like a belt around your waist. Having the breastplate of righteousness. It is a defense for your vital organs. You hear me? The defense for your vital organs is a breastplate that will stand against the darts of the enemy. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is a certain mixture. Are you with me? There's a certain mixture of the gospel. Some people overmix the gospel. Some people, for instance, they take one thing in the gospel, like baptism, and they press upon baptism, and they say baptism save you, and they press so hard upon baptism that they are overbalanced with baptism, and they miss Jesus Christ because of baptism. Amen. Some people press too much on the receiving of the Holy Ghost. They press so hard on the receiving of the Holy Ghost that the whole church is geared for nothing but the receiving of the Holy Ghost, and they forget to walk in the Holy Ghost after they receive Him.
Right.
Amen. So there is a certain mixture, a certain preparation, a certain blend, amen, that will make you walk straight and walk the balanced walk in God. Certain mixture. Be moderate in your mixture, brethren, and have things in the right places. Hallelujah. This is what he means by the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, the shield of faith, which will quench the fiery darts of the devil. Believe in God. Believe God is good. Believe that your God is a good God. Believe that your good God will do good. And believe that all that your good God does is good.
Amen.
You don't get that one, eh? Amen. You get a bash in the head and you know it is good. For all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You see, if you know these principles and you walk in them, then you will survive and overcome. And he said, take the helmet of salvation. A helmet covers your forehead, it covers your head. Very vital part of your body. The helmet covers your head. Many a man who went to war can tell you that his life was saved by a helmet he had on. Bullets strike the helmet and the helmet went flying and the man's head was unhurt. Praise be to God. You can see then that he's talking about a covering.
Yes.
A covering for the mind. Are you with me?
Yes.
A covering for the soul. Amen. A lot of people are preaching about covering. I went to a certain congregation to preach and they said, brother, we can't let you preach unless we find out who is your covering. Say, we have to get you a covering first before you can preach. I said, brother, my covering is Jesus Christ. He said, oh, we know that. We don't mean that. We mean that if you associate with some other brethren. Blessed be to God. Listen, God sent me out of Jamaica to preach the word of God. Can you understand? Can you understand that they kicked me out of the church where I was pastoring? Can you understand that they couldn't cover me if they wanted to? They had nothing to cover me with. They kicked me up. Oh, you're going to cover something you kick out. Amen? It's like Elijah come along here and you ask him, come on, Elijah, tell me your covering before I get taking a message from you. God sent a messenger. God is his covering.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's covered by Almighty God. And it's covered like the angels of God are covered. If he's a messenger of God, he's got the covering of God. Amen. Praise his name. And so, brethren, we're talking about the covering, the helmet of salvation, to cover the mind, to cover the soul, to cover you up from the darts of the enemy. Praying always, supplication in spirit, and watching dear unto. Praise God. Let's go back up to the 12th verse, because that's what I'm going to speak to you about before we come down to the close. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And most of us forget that when we're dealing with people. We are not dealing with people. People are only pawns in the hand of the devil. The devil shuffles people around, cause them to do things that they don't want to do, cause them to hurt people they don't want to hurt, and the devils are definitely in control of people who are not controlled by Jesus. Come on. Now, I didn't say the devil are in control of satanic, bad, wicked people. I say the devil is in control of people who are not being controlled by Jesus Christ. And that it puts some of the Christians under the control of the devil.
Yes, it does.
You hear me, brethren?
Amen.
Yes.
I see churches controlled by devils. Now, that's a very big, powerful statement to make, but you better believe it and keep your eyes open. You hear me? Keep your eyes open, because God cannot control a man who is in the outer court of the church.
Amen.
You know why God cannot control him? God has no intention to. Amen. God won't control him, because if a man is led by the Spirit, he is a son of God. If he is not led by the Spirit, he's led by his own mind or other spirit sometimes. Now, this is what I'm saying. That outside in the outer court, you're going to ask the brother, says, who is in the outer court? What is an outer court church? An outer court church, An out-of-court person is a person who is not under the headship of Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus is your head, if he is leading you, then you are in the body of Christ. I don't have any part of me that is unruly. My hands work according to my brain. My feet and everything else work according to my brain. I don't have any unruly members. Amen. And those people who are running wild, those men who are doing their own thing, they are functioning in self, and the devil is leading them.
Amen.
Jesus is not leading them. I might run out there and get 10 souls saved, and not one goes to my account. It's like hay, wood, and stubble going up to heaven, because God gets the soul saved in spite of me.
Yes.
Because I'm disobedient, God wants me over here, and I run over there. But you know something? There is a battle going on for you and for me, for our souls and our attention. A battle going on right here tonight. There are spirits in here that are battling with people's minds to get them. There are some people here who cannot hear all that I am saying. Amen. Because the enemy is battling your mind while I am talking to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I'm commanding that Satan let loose of your mind. Right now. Amen. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you will hear me for a while, there are two forces battling. God said we are wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, let me draw for you where we are. This here is light, and over here is darkness. Your spirit dwells in the light. Your soul dwells in a realm between light and darkness, and your body is a child of the darkness. Amen. Now, we have the power to pull our body this way into the light, or we have the power to let our bodies go that way, our souls go that way into the darkness. Who is the ruler of darkness? Satan is the ruler of darkness, the adversary. And here we have intermeshed with your spirit, we have the Holy Spirit. Then we have Christ. And then here we have the Father. And there is a pulling this way to pull you into the light. Hallelujah. And this is called the heavenlies. Heaven. Now, this here, I'm going to call it the twilight. The twilight zone. And so your soul dwells in a position between light and darkness. We wrestle against the darkness of this world, because our bodies are in this world, and God wants you not to live over here, but to live over here. Live in the spirit, and we will overcome the world. Amen. Now, Let us see what we mean, because words like principalities are words that just pass over your head and you don't understand what principalities mean. And here comes the preacher, principalities, and you say amen, and you understand half of it. Listen, the word principalities come from the word prince and another word named polity. The word prince means a person who is in line for a throne to be king. And a polity is an area. Amen. Like you said, this is a county. You see, a state. A polity is an area over which a prince rules. So when Daniel prayed, Daniel said, God, I'm praying for Israel. Brethren, when Daniel said Israel, he did not know that Israel has three dimensions.
Yes, amen. Amen.
He didn't know that Israel meant a people to come in the end time that would be the Israel of God.
Glory to
God. Amen. And since Daniel didn't know that, he was praying for Israel. And so God gave him the message of the end time for Israel. For Israel at the time of Daniel was worshiping the gods of Babylon. Do you remember the case when Nebuchadnezzar put up the god and they should all bow before this god? You know, it's only three boys didn't bow. How many Israelites you think were down there? Hundreds of thousands of them, and only three did not bow. So the rest bowed. They were worshiping the devil. And so the devil said, these are my people. How you mean to come and pray for these people, and they are my people? This angel claimed that the people belonged to him. And Gabriel, the messenger of God, could not get through. The reason God's messenger could not get through is because man, humanity, has a free will choice. And when you pray for a man, you have a daughter or a son in trouble, and you pray for him, the angel can't go and just zap him and take him out of the devil's pathway and put him on the pathway of life. No, he's got his own mind. And he's got to resist. So when God go to the boy and see the boy can't come and you continue to pray for him, God has to give him a wallop. Yes, sir, it's you who did it. You pray, you say, God. But you see, some poor mothers, when they pray to God, they don't trust God that much with their boy. And so when the boy gets a wallop, they say, oh, God, help him, take him out of it. God is just trying to do what you ask him to do. Yeah. He's just doing it his way.
Right.
You need to trust God when you pray. God, you pray, Lord, save the boy. Deliver him. The next thing you hear, the police arrest him. You must say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to save the boy, and you let him get into some trouble. I know you're going to take him out, but do please, Jesus, let the work be done on him. You see. And this is the confidence and the trust we are supposed to have in Almighty God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me here state a fact that most people don't know. No evil spirit can touch one of you sitting here tonight unless two things happen. Unless you give him permission to do it. Or unless some other human being give him permission to do it, and you are careless and weak and it's done to you. Are you with me? No matter what we do, then the permission is coming from the human realm. The spirits of God cannot touch another spirit, or cannot touch you unless you give him permission to do it. So then the spirits of God, the angels, God said, the angels encamp round about you to protect you, to deliver you. But sometimes they stand there with folded wings. They can do nothing. You know why? Because you are not submitting to God, and you are rejecting them, and you are keeping them back. You hear what the Bible said? The Bible said, to whatever spirit you submit to, servants, to obey his servants, ye are. Amen. Now here comes the Spirit of God standing up over you, ready to help you. But instead of submitting to him, you turn your back upon him and you start submitting to a devil. What can he do? You know what he can do? One of the first things that angel of God would do is run off and touch your pastor. Bring you up before him. Pray for her. Get to somebody else. Pray for her. Sometimes I see the Spirit of God almost in panic, trying to get somebody away from their busy work to pray for somebody at a moment when the person needs the deliverance. Amen. I'm going down the busy street, driving down the busy street. All of a sudden, I see the back of a man's neck, and it is somebody that I know years ago. And I'd never seen him for many years. Oh, dear, he's in a car. I rushed down beside him and blew my horn. He looked around. Not the man at all. Then I look at him again. He's not looking like him at all. I said, Jesus Christ, send mercy, send life to that man right now, wherever he is. You know why? God caused me to remember the man. Yes. The angel of God is seeking help for that person. And by this means we become one body and we move in one. You don't have to have a long list of people kneel down to pray from a list on the paper, checking out. The Spirit of God brings people to you daily. Sometimes in your sleep, God's Spirit brings people to you to pray for them, to intercede for them, Amen. To cry to God for them. This is the work of the body. Amen. And so you can see what's happening. It's a continuous battle that is being waged. A battle being waged back and forth. Devils come to you. They tempt you to do so and so. You know why they're tempting you? Because they see that if you do it, you will submit to them and you will lose the blessing that the angel of God is standing over you with, the blessing to give you. Don't you understand? We are living in a spiritual world and there's no use denying it. There's no use turning your back away from it and saying, oh, this is natural. There's nothing natural around here. Everything is spiritual. Amen. For all natural things are caused by spiritual agents. Amen. The spiritual agents of the devil are trying to catch you every turn. They're trying to trick you. They'll do anything to get you. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I remember one time, but story time now, I was working in a job where I was the accountant, and I noticed that my home began to turn upside down. My mother, my aunt, the girls that were there from the church living with them, everybody was working against me. And everything I did was undone. And my name was just mud all around, and I couldn't understand why things were working against me. So God came and whispered to me and said, fast for 7 days. Well, I was going to work every day, and it was difficult to fast for 7 days, but I said, I will do it. And so I began to fast. And Wednesday afternoon, I came home, went to bed Wednesday night, and had this dream. I was standing in the Baptist churchyard, which was just a little way up the street from me, and right behind the church, where they had some outdoor toilets, where these toilets were, I could see through the stone walls of the church, right through, and there I saw Satan. And he rubbed his hand together gleefully, and he called a spirit to him. And he said, you see that man over there? He said, you go and you stick on to him. Now, when we used to play football, soccer, we had a word, we say, stick him. And when you say stick a man, you must stick on to him like a plaster. He must not lift that foot and kick that ball. You must be there. And you must stop him. So you stick on to him and tie up his feet. Don't let him do anything. And so this is the term he used. He says stick him. And I saw the spirit come around to me, you know. And this young man started coming towards me. And as he reached there, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I said, get away from here. And wow, he just held himself like I shot him with a bullet. And he just tumbled back crying. And he complained to Satan how I hit him. He didn't even get a chance. And Satan said, all right. Patted him on the back, said, all right, never mind. I'm going to send him a prince. And he called up another spirit, and there I saw a fine-looking young man come up to him. And he said, all right, get him. And I said, I'm going to do you just like I did the one before you. So the prince came stepping up to me. And by the time he reached out there, I said, I won't let him come any further. I'm going to give it to him. And I opened my mouth to rebuke him. I heard something fall behind me. And I turned around. And by the time I turned around, of course, nothing was there. The prince was standing beside me. He distracted me. Amen. And he was standing beside me. And so I said, I'm going to give it to him now. I opened my mouth to rebuke him again. He said something that I wanted to hear. I don't remember what it was, but something about my mother or something else that I wanted to hear. And I hesitated again. And by the time I hesitated again, he was gone. Didn't rebuke him. And so I said, the prince seemed to have more power and wisdom than the ordinary spirits. So, all right, I came out of this churchyard and went home. And as I went home, I opened my gate and I saw the prince leaning up at the corner and giving the news to my mother, my aunt, and the two girls. And they were giggling, and oh boy, they were getting the news from this prince. And in this dream, I walked quietly up behind and rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I said, I command you to loose. And he got shot, and I kept it up, and out of his bosom jumped my old motorcycle. My old motorcycle jumped out of his bosom, and I'm there rebuking him again, and boom, the old bicycle. Used to live on bicycle and motorcycle. Spend all my time riding them, fixing them, you know. And the bicycle jumped out. And I rebuked him again, and old radio jumped off. And I rebuked him again, and all the things that I was playing with in life came out, and they were on a long string, and as he staggered away, the string hauled behind him, and it more come out and more come out, and I was rebuking. I followed him to the gate and rebuked him, and he pitched headlong through the gate and draw this long string of motorcycle, bicycle, radio, and everything behind him. And I got up out of the vision. I said, my God, you mean to say that these are the things that have been hindering my life, and that is this prince have been causing me to be fooling around with these things instead of praying and seeking the Lord? Anyhow, I kept up the fast from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening. I came home and opened the gate, and the same scene that I saw in the vision, I saw it right before me, my eyes. My mother leaning up same way, and my aunt on the other side, and the two girls, and they were there, and they were so interested in what they were talking about that they didn't notice me come through the gate and walk up to them. Exactly as the dream showed it. I walk up behind them, and I said, yes, you are talking about me. Amen. And they said, what? I said, you said so-and-so. Because I remember what they said in the vision. I said, you said so-and-so, and you said so-and-so. And my mother said, oh, God. She said, the Lord is talking to him. God has told him. And she began to confess everything that they were talking. And the power of that devil was broken by the 7 days fast. Brethren, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Did you think that the man who is fighting you so bitterly is your enemy? That poor man is under the power of a demon and he can't help himself. If you look at human beings as your enemies, you are being deceived. For the great enemy hides behind people and accuse the people to you, and so that you make the people look like the devil himself when it is he who is doing it. You disregard the human agent, put him aside, and rebuke the devil behind him, and you see what happens. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against princes and against the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Brethren, will you permit me to go a little further? The rulers of the darkness of this world, in order to pull down your soul into darkness, they use temptations and sins to do it. Now, your soul is your mind and your emotions and your will and your desires. And if you follow those desires in the world, your will in the world, your mind in the world, your emotions in the world, you will go down into darkness. You don't have to commit any great sin to do that. God says that the cares of this life, looking after the children, looking after your home mortgage, looking after the garden, looking after the dog, looking after the cat, looking after this and looking after that. If you keep on doing that very diligently, you'll find that you lose all of your spiritual life. And you begin to be dragged down into darkness. And that the things that you used to know in the spirit, you forget them.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You start forgetting the things of God and remembering the things of the world. God is saying to you that because you are wrestling against smart spirits that have been going on for 6,000 years, they have been studying human beings, that you need to really turn to God by faith, rely upon God, be strengthened in the Word of God, and you must have the Holy Ghost. No doubt about that. To be able to win. I'm going to tell you another bad story. The first story was about me, but this one is about you. Hallelujah. You were born in sin, and you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin your mother conceived you. Amen. And because of this, you have a line of people coming down in your family that some of them were possessed with demons and were submitted to demons. And the worst part about it is that you look like them. You not only look like them in your facial features and your body, in your physical, but you look like them in the spiritual. A demon look at you and he sees you doing the same things that your great grandfather used to do, which he used to control him. Glory to God. I don't know if you are prepared for this, but we are talking about familiar spirits. I'm talking about spirits that inhabit families. I'm talking about devils that claim your babies when they're born. This is mine. And you see the poor little child struggling with a mad temper, and you cannot understand why, where this child gets this temper from. You look back into your family life and you'll find one of you, either man or woman, who had the same temper. It's a spirit that has been ministered to the child, a familiar spirit. But God said that the sins of the fathers will visit. You hear me? How can sins visit anybody? Sins have to go by some devil carrying it. The sins of the fathers will visit the third and fourth generation of them that are disobedient to God. The Bible said them that hate him, and I'm translating it in a better way for you, of them that are disobedient to God. What are we talking about? You accept Jesus as your Savior and you enter into obedience. You start disobeying God, and all of a sudden the old time deeds turn upon you. Amen.
All right.
That spirit follow your family, and he keep haunting you because he wants one of you. Amen. And unless you obey Jesus Christ, you're going to obey the familiar spirit. You had an old wretched temper which your grandfather had, which your great grandfather had, and you used to boast about it, say, I have Irish blood in me. You know, I have such and such a blood in me. Amen. Amen. You are boasting upon the power of a demon. And that demon follows your family, come down, follow you. And the moment you slip from God, he gets you. There's only one way to keep away from the power of the devil, is to obey the Spirit of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Sometimes a person feel a desire to smoke a cigarette, and you find that you pray about it and you can't get away from it. I'm talking about cigarette, but I'm seeing other things right before me here, like lust, like carnal behaviors that haunt you. And you try to get away from it and you can't get away from it. You fight it. You pray against it. You struggle. You think you are freed, and bam, you fall into it again. It's a spirit that is ministering it to you. Some old devil wants a cigarette to smoke. Some old devil wants to satisfy a passion that is within him, and he has nobody to do it with. He's got to use your body. And so we find that hell is a state of existence where spirits travel up and down seeking rest and finding none. Oh, yes, glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And he said, let me go back to my house.
Yes, yes.
Let me go try again if I can get somebody here. Hallelujah. And this passion and this hunger and this thirst and this burning. He wants a drink. He follows you. He comes back to you until he gets you to drink a drink and you obey him. You become his servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear people talk about reincarnation. And a lot of the young people get involved in reincarnation teachings and foolishness. You know what reincarnation is? It is a demon trying to relive his life through another human being.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody who is remembering that he was living here 40, 50, 100 years ago, it's somebody who has got a spirit in him that was living here.
Yes.
Amen. That's what reincarnation is. Devils. Now I know I'm going to tread into dangerous grounds now. Devils are of three different kinds. Fallen angels that are princes, principalities. Fallen angels, ordinary fallen angels, those spirits don't seek a body to live in. They never were made with a body like yours. They don't want a body like yours, for if they do get it, they are restricted. They are restricted when they have a body like yours. Amen. And demons are human spirits, souls, that are wandering up and down in hell and want a place of rest. Hell is a state of existence that at present, hell, you can have an ease in hell. The spirits ease themselves by occupying people, seeking rest and finding none. The rest that a demon gets is to get into a person and to live and to have a good time.
Right.
Finally, when the sons of God come forth and cast every devil out and bind him, amen, in the 1,000 years, then they will really know what hell is. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, yes, Jesus. We call that the lake of fire. In the lake of fire, there is no ease. The pressure never stops. Amen. They are just in fire. They want to do their thing and can't do it. They have no body. They can't find another human being to suck their life out. Bless God, you know why? Glory to God. Our place here, our world, has been sucked dry of energy and life by devils.
Yeah.
Our life is being taken away by devils. This is why the hospitals are full. This is why the sons of God cannot walk into that hospital and say, get out all of you and be well in the name of Jesus. Because our power is lacking. Devils are using our power to do their thing. Hallelujah. When God, when Satan, let me put it this way, when Satan decided to make his play in heaven, he thought that he was going to have access to God's source of power, to live and to have a good time. Anything that is separated from God is in torment. It automatically is separated from his food, his livelihood. For thus saith the Lord God, that all things live and move and have their being in God. And any time you get out of God, you have torment.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, some people talking about God made hell and God put the devil in hell. They don't understand God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Some boys leave their homes where daddy and mama is working hard and providing food and providing shelter and providing a good bath for them, and they go out in the street there and they never know what it is to suffer hunger until they start walking the street there without daddy and mother.
Amen.
God is our life. God is our source. Amen. Oh yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we come along the road and we begin to sing a few songs of God, and I feel the peace of God in the car and the joy, I said, Lord God, this is heaven.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. When you dwell in the Spirit, you dwell in heavenly places. When you dwell out of the Spirit, you are in hell. Back towards the realm of darkness. Hallelujah. And there, who is king down there? Who is king down there? Satan is king. Yeah, he's king down there. When your thoughts fall from heavenly things and fall down to earthly things, down into the pit and into the mire, Satan is ruler over you. When your thoughts rise up to God and begin to grasp the higher things of God, God is king.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the glory of God makes peace into the human soul. Quietness, joy, happiness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God is our life.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Yes, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And so we can understand a little about heaven and hell. We understand that we move from one realm into another. That we, the people of God, the people of the world, we have access to both realms. Amen. We have access to both realms. We can choose hell if we want to. We can choose heaven if we want to. We can walk up into the heights of heaven. And God says that our abiding place is in the Father, the very realms of light of the highest order. Glory to God. The angels say we can't understand it. Angels can't understand it, because up in the higher realms of heaven, the three realms of heaven, where Michael and Gabriel and all the high stones of fire walk up and down near to the throne of God, they cannot stand the power and the glory of Almighty God radiating through the clouds of heaven.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Glory to God. They can't stand it. And they say, I don't understand how this little man is going to come here and walk up in there. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Oh.
Amen. Bless God. Lucifer said to God, let me walk up and down on the Mount Zion. And let give me the congregation of Zion. I want Zion to be my people. Under, I want them to be under me. I want to be their Christ. God said, is what you want? The congregation in the sides of the north? The city of God? He said, no. It's reserved for somebody else, the Son. Amen. Satan said, I'm going to take it. God said, you'll take everything else but Zion. You ever seen the devil come into a church and tear it up? The devil come into a church, tears it up, and he takes out all the lighter people, all those who can move, and sometimes two, three left, he can't touch them. can't move them. He takes what he can take, but he's always getting the trash. He's like the garbage man.
That's right. Always in the trash. That's good. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise
be to God. But bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that the battle is coming to an end, and a real beautiful end. Hallelujah. That the sons of God are being trained even at this moment to rise up and to vindicate the cause of God once and for all. That there are men and women, people in this generation who will overcome the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That the hour is at hand for the sons of God to overcome Satan in every facet.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. We are not wrestling against people. People are not our enemies. Our enemies are the spirits that fight against us. Then let me tell you something again about the, I told you about the principalities and the powers of darkness. But I didn't say anything about the principalities and the powers of light. Amen. For we do have some principalities and powers of light that are on our side. Praise God. If you turn your Bibles a little round to chapter 3 of the same Ephesians. Hallelujah. And verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Look, brethren, God is teaching the church a lesson, and he's teaching the heavens a lesson, and he's teaching the devils a lesson.
Yeah, right,
amen. And this great lesson that is being taught by the living church, the church militant, the church that is fighting the devil tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now,
hallelujah.
Because of this, brethren, we are supposed to be very careful of what we do. Amen. That when a temptation comes to you, it comes for a purpose. Because God says to his angels, now watch. Some brother died. He didn't overcome this temptation. He had this temptation beaten him. It beat him. He's a child of God, but he died and he went to be with Jesus. So he can't be tempted anymore. So he cannot feel temptation anymore. God can't allow him to go and zap the devil and to overcome the devil when the devil can't get back at him. So God has to use you now as his example of overcoming. And so God says to this brother, he says, go down and stay with that brother, because he's under certain temptation, and the Lord God has given him the power to overcome. And watch him and see how he does it. And when you get under the temptation, you think that you are alone. Angels of God stand up there watching you, waiting on you to overcome the devil for them, that they may learn. Oh, it is done. Blessed be the God Almighty. Paul, Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, none of those brothers ever were on drugs. They didn't have LSD.
No.
They didn't know anything about the things that bother young people today. They don't know about the temptations that the young have to go through. They don't know the temptation and the distress that the old have to go through. They don't know anything about modern life. They don't know about television. They don't know anything about the pressures that pressure you today. They have to learn from you how. Amen. For God says, when transgression has come to its full, and transgression has been increasing, every plan of the devil has been increasing, the power of Satan has been increasing, and God has a people to overcome him when his power reached to its full.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, the church that is in heaven, if you want to know where heaven is, tonight they are right here with us.
Yes.
Serving God with us. Praising God with us.
Amen.
Rejoicing with us. Hearing the message with us. Blessed be the God, if our eyes could only be opened. Oh, we would see that we are not alone. We would see that we are not few. Amen. You know, once I was a little bit distressed about a little church. That few little brethren would meet there, and they felt so lonely and so much nothing. When they come together, they read a scripture, they pray a little, they go home. They felt so bad. And so the angel of the Lord said to me, come, let me show you something. And when I went to the window of the church and looked through, I saw this brother get up, and I could see what his heart was saying. Well, let us just read a little scripture, you know, and just go home, you know. But there was no life in the thing. They were so feeling lonely. And as he took up the Bible to reach, the Lord, the angel stretched through the window and said, the peace of God be with you. And suddenly the brother perked up, and the Spirit of God came over him, and the glory began to shine in the church, and everybody was abundantly blessed. I said, they don't know how much God is in our meetings. We have to be careful when we get together in a meeting, because some people get together in a meeting, they have all kind of carnal intentions, carnal thoughts. They want to bring forth their little thing. They want to show off themselves. They don't know that the Spirit of God has a plan for that meeting.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. When people come together, they should kneel and pray and say, oh God, reveal your plan for tonight. If it's two of us, if it's three of us, reveal your plan, Lord Jesus, that we may go along with the Spirit tonight. For the angels of God are here, and the brothers are here, the church is here. They want to hear what we are going to do when we are together alone.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles with me around to Hebrews chapter 12. And in 11, chapter 11, and the last verse says, verse 40, God, verse 39, we begin, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The saints in heaven cannot be perfected without our fight and testimony and overcoming. Hallelujah. Then somebody mistakenly put in a chapter here. You just ignore the chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have to be careful how we run, how we walk, how we talk, because the saints of God are trying to learn something from us, and they need our help to overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When finally we come to the end of the journey, amen, and they gain their possession, their promised possession. They will come back here and pick up their bodies and join us. Did you know that?
Yeah,
amen. They're going to pick up their bodies and they are going to join with us.
Yeah.
And we and them will overcome all things that is here on earth and put all powers under the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And reign and rule here for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And for 1,000 years we will minister to the children and to those who have not gained immortality until they gain immortality, and there will be no more death under the rule of God by the saints of God for 1,000 years. Amen. The seventh day, praise be to God. And this is where we are right now. We are just against that period of time when we are about to change from time into eternity.
Amen.
We have a battle ahead of us. We have two battles, I should say, ahead of us. The devil is going to make a last attempt to destroy and to kill humanity. When Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Satan got to hear about it and he sent and killed all the boy babies trying to kill Jesus. When Moses was to be born, Satan got to hear about it and he killed all the boy babies. He didn't kill Moses. Now that they hear that the son, the man child, is about to come forth, amen, they start killing babies again. Start killing babies again because he suspects that the man child is coming forth. A sister who is a nurse went to work in a hospital. She had to leave the job and come home and decide never to go back to hospital if she can do better, because she said the carnage was horrible. Babies dead and dying were just thrown out into the trash. Yes, sir. That's what's happening in our time. They're killing the babies. When he sees that he's not going to get the man child, he's going to turn around and try to kill all humanity with the hydrogen bombs and the atom bombs that they have. But blessed be to God, God said, for the elect's sake. He said if it wasn't for the elect's sake, he wouldn't intervene and no flesh would be saved on earth. Fourth seal opened, death and hell took charge, got loose. That's about 30 years ago when the atom bomb first came in, when man received the power to kill and to destroy every human life from the face of the earth. At that time, they only had the power to do it once. Then they got the power to do it twice. Then they have now the power to do, to kill the world. Enough power, enough atom bomb weaponry to destroy the world 80 times. Can you understand what I'm talking about? They are having an arms race. And the people can't see that they have enough to kill the world 80 times. They don't need any more. But they are still having an arms race. Amen. And God said that they're going to try. The devil is going to stir them to try when he sees to become the kingdom of God and his Christ. Amen. This is our destiny, brethren. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. May God help you not to see human beings as your enemies. May God help you to forgive human beings, to have compassion on them, to be sorry for them, to help them when you see them come against you. When they seem to be bad, ask God for their souls and deliver them and don't fight against them. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to ask me a few questions because I didn't preach half of the message. Praise God.
May I ask you,
amen.
I wonder why they don't send more preachers to Jamaica than North America.
I'm going to tell you why. They wouldn't preach what I'm preaching.
We hear a lot of ministers here say, let's go down, go to South America, down in that area, work as missionaries, preach the gospel to them. And I just wondered how this fellow got all this truth to come up here and preach to us.
I got a boot, brother.
The Lord give it to you.
Give them just a little bit of what you give us over there, how you landed here with what you come in and where you wound up in the section. And I enjoyed it.
Well, I told a story last night of how the 20 years before, the Lord said to me, you must go to the United States with a message. And I thought I was ready, and I couldn't just understand why God wasn't sending me right away. Anyhow, after this long period of time, God said, now is the time I told you about, and I want you to go now. At that time, I was principal for a headmaster for a school in Montego Bay High School, and my wife also was a teacher in the school, and we just had to quit immediately and go, because for 20 years we were waiting on God to tell us when to go. And so we took off, and we had no money. We had $12, and we landed in Miami. And we stood up there and looked around, and everybody knew where they were going, and we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know who we were going to, what we were to do, but we felt sure God would guide us. Now, a young lady went to Jamaica, and she was very happy and full of the life of the, you know, the liquor and everything. That and she came dancing up to us, and don't you want to go to Fort Lauderdale? Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. And I was away out there walking confused, because we were there now over 2 hours and I didn't know what to do. And so I was walking and praying, and I saw, as she said Fort Lauderdale, here was a taxi man right beside her, and he heard the word Fort Lauderdale. He said, okay, let's go. And he grabbed my suitcase, and I saw him booing with my suitcase, so I rushed in the car, and my poor wife stood up there, didn't know what to do. She had to run into. And so we found ourselves on the way to a place called Fort Lauderdale. And I had this Bible, and in the Bible was a postcard that had been sent to me 2 years before by my brother. But I didn't look at it. I just put it in my Bible. It had on the picture of him and his wife and his kids, so I put it in my Bible. And suddenly this card dropped out of my Bible. And I picked up the card, and I saw Fort Lauderdale. And at the same time, the driver said, where are you going? And I was too embarrassed to tell him I don't know where I'm going. So I handed him the card. And he took me into this immaculate area. Beautiful grass cut and all the houses white and everything else. And he dropped us at this gate, this door. And when we looked around, we saw 13 newspapers all around. And we realized that people hadn't been home for 13 days. And we didn't know who the people were. And so we stood there, you know, really praying now. And a woman came across the street and began to curse us. And she said, I'm going to get the police. You niggas, you have no right here. And so we didn't understand too much of what she was saying, neither did we understand why she was so upset, because we are from Jamaica. We don't know anything about what goes on over here. And so we just stood up there smiling. And here comes a man, a blue Cadillac with a fishing pole hanging out of it, and like he was just coming from some vacation. And he rushed into the house across the street. He looked across and he saw us, and he ran across and he grabbed our baggages and said, "You are the missionaries we are expecting." And off he went with our baggages, and we just ran after him. And we said, he must be making some mistakes, but we are sure glad. he put us in his car, and off he went. And he took us to a lady just a little few blocks down. She had a little store, and he introduced us to her and told her that we are missionaries and we were looking for her. So he brought us to her, and she just said, "Praise the Lord." And she began to talk with us, and she sent to call her husband, and they begin to talk with us. Now this is the part I didn't tell you last night. They took us home with them, and they put me in a room, and I took off my coat to go and hang it in the cupboard. And when I opened the cupboard, I saw my coat in the cupboard, and the coat had my name onto it. And I looked inside. I remember the coat. I said to my wife, "Well, what happened to this coat? We haven't..." And then we remember we gave the coat away to my brother. And I ran with the coat to her and said, "Where did this coat come from?" She said, "Your brother left it here." I said, "My brother?" He said, "Yes." Yeah. Said, "This is where he stayed 2 years ago." "Then he didn't send you here." I said, "No, I didn't hear from him. I don't know where he is."
Praise the Lord.
And she took us to service with her that night, and we began to minister in that group, and that is how we got here.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Is there any other question you want? Praise the Lord. I will hand over.
Question back then.
Oh, yes.
You said three kinds of demons, three kinds of evil spirits.
Yes.
Well, we got from the fallen angels, the demons. What was third?
No, the fallen angels were in two types. There were the princes and the ordinary angels. And of course, on God's side, you have the Michael and Gabriel, those powerful angels. The scripture described them as stones of fire. And then you have coming down the ordinary angel that carries messages up and down. And then you have the saints. Yes.
Well, like you said, that evil spirits draw life from us,
yes.
From God's creation.
Yes.
You know, when that ceases, it would seem that they would cease without the lack of being able to draw life.
Yeah, they would cease to have any power. They would be just in pain and agony and burning, like when a man is hungry. They would really cease to have any power. If you notice, when you rebuke an evil spirit, he gets weak. And if you can see him, you would see him fall. And sometimes when a man has an evil spirit and you rebuke the evil spirit, he falls to the ground. It is really the evil spirit that falls and knocks him down in the fall. Yes, brother.
I think you mentioned that demon being a human spirit inhabiting another body. Is that right?
Amen.
Would you elaborate on that?
I wish you had missed it. It is just that no fallen angel wants to live confined in a human body. fallen angel doesn't want to live in a confined place. Yes. He would blow your tubes. He's too powerful for that. And if he gets himself in a body, he gets rebuked in a body, it's going to cut him too hard. But when he's keeping out there, he keeps away from your rebuke and from your darts from the spirit that you'd fire at him. So fallen angels, basically, they are the bosses that keep these spirits running around. And they suck life through these spirits by some means. But they are taking the life out of our realm, or else they would have no power, yes?
Are you saying a fallen angel is a human spirit that, from a human being that has lived here previously?
No. That's what I'm not saying.
Okay.
A fallen angel is one of the angels that fell from heaven with Satan.
All right, I thought you said that a demon...
A demon is a human spirit.
Is a human spirit.
Human soul, to be exact.
That has lived here previously.
Yes, died. Died, go to hell, and is walking up and down, to and fro, through the earth, seeking rest, finding none, want to go back into a human body to find a little peace. And so when many people do many things, they are being inhabited by other personalities that cause them to do these things. And if you notice, the personalities are human. The things they do are human.
So then this could be a familiar spirit, such as, like you said, about your family. Say if my... Now I have a temper.
Yeah.
Is it possible from what you said that this could be inherited through the same temper that, say, an unregenerate grandfather might or something else? Is what you're saying?
It definitely is so. That's what Mike's problem was too, that I would get into a temper and just walk through that wall, you know. And it seems that you were superhuman when you got into a temper. Nobody could hold you. 10 men couldn't fight you. You're just totally out of this world. And when you're through, you feel drained. When you finish a temper, you feel so drained, you see, of all strength. And sometimes for weeks you can't get back yourself together. Amen. And then I began to fight that spirit after I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I found out that I still had the spirit. Although it was hit, it received a blow, yet it was not completely destroyed. And so I fasted and prayed and begged God to take the temper away from me. And one day I was sitting on a horse, and a man wanted the horse to ride. And he came and began to curse me, you know, how I'm riding the horse. And he wanted me to come down off the horse to fight me. Normally, that man would not fight me. But there was some devil tempting him, because he knew that I had now turned into Christian, and he wanted to fight me. And I couldn't trust my limbs. My very limbs were quaking. Just wanted to tear him to pieces. And I had to sit on the horse very quiet. I couldn't move. If I moved, I was going to drop right on top of him. And I wouldn't move. And he cursed me, and I sweat. And I wet the saddle where I was sitting. And I wouldn't move. And when he had moved away, I climbed off the horse. Another day, I believe now I've won. I've got over this temper now. Two men were fighting on the farm. And I came down towards the stable and saw this man just tearing the other man to pieces, just knocking him, and the poor man couldn't help himself. He knocked him down, and he picked him up, and he knocked him down again. I couldn't stand it. I rushed in between the two men, and I held this man like this. And the man began to fight me to get... He said, let me kill him. And something out of the man jumped on me. And I almost lost consciousness at that moment. And while he was pushing against me like that. I slipped down that on my knee like this, and the man came over my shoulder, and I ran with him and slammed him down on a wall, and the walls just scattered. And when I realized that I was getting mad, I jumped over the wall and ran to my bedroom and said, Jesus, I'm not free. Thought I was free. Amen. Amen. That's after I'm a Christian preaching the word of God. I went into another situation where I was.
There's not time on this tape to tell you the story, but let me conclude by saying that God delivered me by allowing this young man to beat upon me, and when I did not retaliate, the flood of joy of God came over me, and the spirit was defeated. The scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
I went into another situation where I was in an office now, and I was part of the management of this office. And we hired a young boy who was a real roughneck, a real fighter, liked to fight. And this young boy was making so many mistakes. So I said, Billy, you're making too many mistakes. You have me all day correcting your mistakes. I can't trust the work you do. Every work you do, I have to go over it. You have to stop making mistakes. If you do half the work you do, try to do it right and don't make any more mistakes. You're giving me too much trouble. And I turned my head down, wasn't noticing him. The boy jumped from his seat, and before I could realize, he had belted me one right uppercut. The chair flew from behind me, and I went backwards, and the devil said, give it to him. And I began to fight the devil, because the devil was in me. He was telling me to give it to him. When the boy lifted up his hand and struck me like this, the devil said, give him under the arm. And I trembled, and I stepped back, and I wouldn't hit him. And he kept wham, 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 tearing at me. And he got me up into a corner like that, and he made a left cross and cut me like this, and the blow tore off the skin off my chest. But I did like this, muscled up, and the boy bounced off me and fell over. You can imagine how strong the blow was. He bounced off me, fell down on his face, and he got up and turned away. And I just laughed. Praise God. The first in my whole life I ever resisted a fight. I mean, a fight was my whole life. I just lived to get the next fight. And it's the first in my life I resisted a fight. And when I sat down, I knew that the devil had left me.
Amen.
Yes, praise God. It was a long fight, but he did leave. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, brother.
Yes, but yes. You, then, if I understand, heaven is a condition that exists here, and hell is a condition that exists here.
Amen.
What is the fire in which the devil and his angels are to encounter and be cast into?
Well, it is on another realm. It is not in this realm. The realm of the spirit. Let me try to explain what a realm is. Right now, tonight, as we sit here, there are radio waves going on in this building, and television pictures in here. It's just because we don't have an instrument to pull them out of their frequency, or else we would see them all and we would all be confused by the sound. Our ears are on a different frequency, so we don't hear these supersonic sounds that would just tear our heads apart if we could hear it. Now, therefore, a realm can exist here and don't either affect or disturb you. Therefore, the spirits are on a higher frequency than we are. And because of where they are, their fire is different from our fire. It is 10 times hotter. You see? So, what is happening is that Satan and his angels will be blasted off into a frequency that they can't come back. They'll have no power to come back this way.
And the Holy Ghost and the fire of God all to do that.
Praise God. You see, that's why God said it is a bottomless pit. For a pit without a bottom is not really a pit. You know, it's just a tomb. It's got no bottom. So God's going to blast them off into a frequency, into a realm, into a place in spirit, not in the natural, where they will have a higher frequency of fire than they can ever have here. And this is what the last hell, the lake of fire, will be like. I mean, I saw it one time. It was like a big sea, just waves roaring, all fire, just roaring, and men being cast up on top and being engulfed in the bottom. It's all I could see, but I don't want to get there to find out any more about it.
May I ask you, brother?
Yes, brother.
Then these people, if these spirits are inhabiting, possessing, these spirits are blasted out. Is this individual taken with them, or is this person saved and the spirits cast out?
No, the story about it is this, that a soul that has gone to hell, that means the soul has rejected Jesus Christ, the only way, the only hope, the only life. Now, when he dies, the physical body dies, the spirit that inhabits him have no more habitation. The spirit of God, his spirit, the spirit of man, this spirit, goes back to God and leave the soul alone. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. And he said, fear him that it has power to cast the body and the soul into hell. So you see that God can separate a being, divide a man when he's going into hell. The great thing is that when Jesus died, his soul was split from his spirit. And his spirit went back to God. He said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And his soul went to hell. Anything that goes to hell, it's devoid of God's spirit. See, and the Christ had to go back down into hell and be resurrected. So God resurrected Christ, and Christ resurrected Jesus, and Jesus resurrected his body. The same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, and the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Christ raised Jesus, God raised Christ.
In other words, these people then that are inhabited or possessed by these spirits shall be... in other words, placed in another realm and held there? Is that what you're saying?
No, they go into hell also, and the demons that occupy them also go to hell. And they have different degrees of hell, of punishment and torment. But they progress in wickedness until they go deeper and deeper. Because evil spirits do learn. They learn, because we know evil spirits learn how to handle human beings. You see? And if you ever had dealings with evil spirits, you rebuke them, and you'll find that when they come back to you, they come back smarter. They don't come in the same way that you can just kick them over again.
What I'm trying to say here is, you said earlier that heaven is a realm or a place or a condition that we can be in here, and hell is also.
Yes, yeah.
Then hell can be in us and heaven can be us. At the ultimate, where will these be that are in hell?
No, at the ultimate. That's why the Bible says, and he will make new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, right now the heaven is mixed. The heaven, this heaven in which we dwell, is mixed. There's a little hell in it.
Yeah, and I've always said he's trying to get the hell out of it.
Yes. Amen. You see, that's what's going to happen. That's why he said, and God will create new heavens and new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. The new heaven is a new soul operation, spirit, soul, and body, where there is no unrighteousness. See? Yes.
With an annihilation of the wicked, in other words, they totally destroy it at length.
I personally don't believe that they are going to annihilate it because of the word of God saying forever. You see, the same word used in the Bible, the eon of eons, the same word used for the everlasting God, the same word used for the everlasting salvation is the same word used for the everlasting punishment. And there is no real, quite in the Bible that says that there's a time when they're going to be wiped out. It seems to me that once God makes a soul, that soul cannot really die or be obliterated.
All right, then in the resurrection, will they be corrected?
No, there's a problem there. In the resurrection of the dead, they will resurrect and they will all turn back to the devil. After burning for 1,000 years and more, they will turn right back and serve the devil. That's the last, the final judgment. Remember, at the end of the millennium, God's going to let loose the devil again. And these people will be resurrected. The dead will be resurrected. And they will go and follow the devil to fight God again. You know, God told me one thing, and I believe it. He said, there's no man in hell who could have been in heaven. God said, if I gave him 1,000 years to repent, he would still make hell. In other words, God knows that the soul that rejects God is a thing that doesn't want God. He would never be happy if God puts him in heaven.
What about the scripture words, death and hell?
Cast
into the lake of fire.
Yes.
All right, if hell is going to be eternally, and there's going to be an end of hell, and the soul that sins and all their demons are always going to exist, how in your relation to scripture where it said, and Jesus, or God took in flesh and blood, seeing the children of flesh and blood, they fought the same, that through death he might destroy the devil?
The power of death.
Who had the power? That destroy the devil who had the power of death.
Yeah.
And the devil is going to always exist. How would you relate to that scripture?
No, well, you see, I've seen some men being destroyed financially, and they are still around. I mean, I've seen people being destroyed and they still exist. What God is saying, that the devil will be destroyed. He'll not be a devil anymore. He won't have any more power. His power will be taken away and he'll be cast out into an outer darkness or into a lake of fire where he cannot come back to torment humanity anymore. This is the understanding that I get. I really checked with God on the eternal punishment. How come, God, you are going to doom the devil to an eternal damnation? Why then don't you just kill him and get rid of him? That whatever I ask, he will do it. And that angel cursed and he said, if God put me back into heaven, I'll go there for one purpose, just to destroy it. There is nothing in them that wants goodness, hope, life, peace, joy. You had a question. The last one.
Yeah, when you said that when the spirits were cast out, never could come back into this realm again, that they went into a higher realm of eventually being passed into the lake of fire. Did I understand it correct? Well, my question was, is that just a higher realm of torment, or are you saying there's a literal fire somewhere where they're going?
No, it's not a literal fire can't burn spirits.
Okay.
It's going to have to be a realm of the spirit.
Being held
in a place of torment and imprisoned. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.